Hammer time. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
All right, we've got Hammer Time. You can tell by the music. Steve Hamer, VFL, joins us now. Steve, how you doing?
Jimmy, I'm doing great. On a fantastic weekend here. Looks like we finally got some fall temps, so I'm doing great. Looking for some forward to some college football.
All right, let's talk a little NBA. We got the Denver Nuggets, who seem to be at their best when they're down 3-1. What about those guys? They rally from 3-1 against Utah. They rallied from 3-1 against the Clippers. Your thoughts on Denver's ability to win when their back's against the wall?
I think they're a tough-nosed basketball team, Jimmy, and they play together. You know, they share the ball exceptionally well, and they're, you know, exuding confidence from all aspects of the game, whether it's shooting. I think they've got a fantastic coach. And they play together as a team. You know, when you have someone like Jokic, who goes 5-for-13 in a closeout game, but is the most impactful player on the floor, that speaks volumes for the type of team that they've got. So, you know, they're going to be fairly dangerous to the Lakers. You know, I think the Lakers are a little bit more athletic and have a lot more playoff experience. But, you know, it's going to be a great series.
I think the Lakers are much better defensively at center than the Clippers. I think they're going to give Jokic some problems with that, with Dwight Howard and or Anthony Davis. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, there's a lot of bodies, especially given the fact that the Lakers did not play their bigs in the last series against Houston because they had to match up and utilize the guards and the forwards to match up with Houston. So, you know, the bigs are going to be well-rested. The Lakers have had now 4 or 5 days off. They're going to be well-rested. But it's going to be one of those things that it's going to be rust or rest for the first game or two. As LeBron alluded to the first game with the Rockets, that it took them a while just to get used to the speed of the Rockets. So it may take them a game or two to kind of fill out the Nuggets. But, you know, I think the bigs from the Lakers are going to play a key and vital role to help the Lakers get to the NBA Finals.
So Denver was down to the Clippers by, I think, 12, 16, and 19 points and rallied to win. Was that just a choke job, a collapse by the Clippers?
I think it was, Jimmy. I think that when you have a team like the Clippers that were put together to win a championship, not, you know, 5 years from now, not 2 years from now, but right now, and, you know, when you have Kawhi who comes back to Southern California to play where he's from, Paul George comes back to Southern California to play where he's from. And you have all of the pieces around them, defense, you've got rebounding, you've got scoring, and you let a 3-1 lead slip through your fingers. It's you hate to use the word choke, but you know, there's not a whole lot of adjectives that are more befitting.
All right, on the other side, we have got the Miami Heat. Which is they've been terrific in the playoffs. I think they're 10-1 right now. They beat Boston. Boston had a 17-point lead. I think when the Heat went to the zone, that seemed to unnerve Boston in the second half.
It really did, Jimmy. You know, the Heat with Eric Spoelstra, you know, one of the best, youngest minds in the game, kind of threw a wrench in Boston's plan and went to that 3-2 zone. You know, it really set the tone for the Heat defensively. And, you know, they're a very dangerous basketball team because they play so well together. They're a tough basketball team. They never say die. And, you know, Jimmy, given the fact that they have yet to lose a game in the playoffs in regulation, you know, the only game they lost was in overtime. So, you know, they're battle-tested. They're ready to play. And the Celtics better pull it together. You know, I think that they had a come-to-Jesus meeting last night, apparently. So, you know, hopefully that's going to turn them around and they're going to play better, much more so than anything else on the offensive end. They've got to be able to score. They've got to be able to hit wide open jumpers.
So Brad Stevens called a meeting with four of his leaders after it was reported that things were thrown in the locker room. There was a lot of yelling, a lot of cussing. What do you think a meeting like that with the head coach can do to perhaps settle his team down?
Well, more than anything else, I think it gives them a chance to refocus. You know, Brad Stevens is a calming, has a very calming demeanor. You know, he never gets too high, never gets too low on the sidelines. I love to watch him coach. And you've got some dynamics at play here with someone like Marcus Smart, who can be, you know, very outspoken from time to time. And you've got a lot of guys that are used to taking the final shot, used to taking the big time shot, and they're not playing well together right now. So, you know, I expect for them to come out tomorrow night. I expect for them to win tomorrow night, and I expect for them to tie it up, and then it's going to be the best of three going down the stretch.
What's the key for Boston? Just better offensive, just better shooting? Is that it?
I think it's better execution. I think Coach Stevens, he better figure out how to overcome that 3-2 zone, because I think that, you know, the Celtics are going to see a lot more action in that 3-2 zone. And, you know, I look forward to seeing Grant Williams play a whole lot more. You know, he's getting some key minutes down in the bubble, not only the finish of the regular season, but he's getting some key minutes in the playoffs, and I think he can really help them. You know, I think that he's quick on his feet. He's a heady basketball player, and he can knock down an open three, which, you know, I don't think Tice really gives them on the offensive end.
All right, as far as the MVP award, it goes to Giannis again. He is a two-time MVP winner. Would that have been your selection?
I think so, Jimmy. You know, and obviously it's based on the regular season. And, you know, let's face it, he hasn't had a great playoff run as of yet. But if you're basing it on the regular season, the way he scores at an exceptional clip, he rebounds, and he's such a commanding presence on the defensive end. I think he's the most valuable player. And I have to put LeBron as second. You know, for someone that has been in the league now for 17-plus years, and he's still – electrifies, you know, the crowd. He's still the marquee player in the NBA. You know, he is a very close second if I had a vote.
Why have the Bucks not done better? You got the MVP. You got a team that statistically is one of the best defensive teams in the league. You got a couple of pretty good pieces led by Middleton. Why are the Bucks not better in the playoffs?
I think the Bucks are not better because they don't shoot the ball very well to close out very many games, Jimmy. You know, in the playoffs, it's much more of a defensive mindset, especially when you're trying to shut down someone like Antetokounmpo. You know, most teams are going to wall up. They're not going to let him score in transition. They're going to put two, three guys sometimes to keep him from getting to the basket, and then he's got to make a great decision on kicking the ball to the perimeter, to the wide-open shooter, and they just didn't have a whole lot of timely scoring from the perimeter besides Chris Middleton, and that really, really hurt them. So, you know, they're going to have to find some pieces in the offseason. You know, first and foremost, they got to find a way to lock up Giannis, you know, long-term. But then they got to find some pieces around him that can really shoot the ball well from the three.
Blue Ribbon Magazine has come out with their preseason poll. They've got Tennessee number 5. Do you think that's about right?
I did a double take, Jimmy, when I saw that. I was very surprised at the fact that Tennessee was ranked number 5. And, you know, I looked to find – our neighbors that wear blue to the north, and they're considerably behind Tennessee by quite a bit. So,
13th.
You know, yeah, I'm happy, but Jimmy, I like the underdog role for Tennessee, and I know that, you know, we're not going to be able to play that card much longer with the talent that Coach Barnes is bringing in. but I think that's a little high for us. I'd like to see us in the mid-teen somewhere and put a chip on these guys' shoulders that watch approve. But that, you know, that speaks volumes for what Coach Barnes has done and what he is doing.
So we had somebody ask earlier, what does Eve Pons need to do to become a first-round draft pick? I said he needs to improve his overall offensive game, which is a more consistent three-point shooter, shooting off the bounce, and ball handling. Would you agree with that? And is there another area where he thinks he needs to improve to be a first-rounder?
Yeah, I agree with all those, Jimmy, and I think he's got to be better with his lateral movement. If he is going to be able to shoot the three, if he's going to be able to shoot the ball off the bounce, obviously he can play defense in the interior. You know, he's going to be asked to play defense on the perimeter as well, because the NBA is a different animal. You know, you look at some of these teams now, and they switch all five positions across the board. And the Celtics did that the other night, and you would be expected, or he would be expected, to be able to guard someone on the perimeter. So I think he's got to be able to be faster laterally, and he can do that. You know, he's got to work. He's got to develop that. But I think you're exactly right. Besides that, he's got to be able to handle the ball a lot better, and he's got to be able to shoot a lot better as well from the three.
Louisville has said that it plans to play non-conference games in a bubble. They're looking for 8 to 12 teams to join them to play 3 to 5 games between November 25 and December the 5th. Do you think this has a chance of working?
Jimmy, I don't know. I'd like to see it. I just don't know that there are going to be a lot of teams, namely Tennessee, that are going to jump at the fact that, you know, here's an opportunity to play some big-time competition that early in the season, given the fact that we can't play any games until the 25th of November. Mm-hmm. So I think Tennessee, you know, that they're probably going to ease themselves into the schedule. Obviously, we're not going to play Wisconsin, which would have been a great matchup for us, you know, early on in the season. But, you know, I think there may be some smaller schools that are going to take advantage of that to try to get some tournament-style play, but I just can't see too many big-time schools doing that early in the season. I'm looking forward to the December 19th matchup with Memphis as far as one of our biggest games early on in the season.
And that's scheduled for Nashville, isn't it?
Scheduled for Nashville, and, you know, there'll be a lot on the line for that particular game. When you had Tennessee go down to beat Memphis in M-Town a couple of years ago, Memphis returned the favor last year here, very much so against a depleted Tennessee basketball team at that point. But, you know, that's going to be winner take all, bragging rights, because, Jimmy, I don't think they're going to play for a while longer. So this is going to be a big time matchup for Tennessee, and the guys that in Orange Britches may be playing that day as well, Jimmy, in the SEC championship game.
There you go. How about that? Hey, Steve, thank you. Always great to catch up with you. We appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Jimmy, thank you so much. Look forward to it next week.
Thank you, sir. All right, that's VFL Steve Hamer.